Podcast with your host, Wilson Rush. Also with T. Lil.
Yes, sir. Wilson Rush Podcast at it again. Got to give a shout out to C. Rush. His competitive tug of war team was playing today, and he couldn't find a substitute, so he had to get going and miss the show. But the producers reached out again to the Michigan man, the Michigan grad, Q Love, man. How you doing, man?
It's all good. We got football season in lock. We playing football. We talking football. We watching football. It's all good.
Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that. T. Will, man, how you feel?
Man, pretty good. Q said it all, baby. Football is here, man, and I'm just excited, man.
Yes, sir. We got another good batch of pick'ems we'll do at the end of the show for you guys. We got to do the Texas A&M Bama recap, and we got to talk about our Lions. You know, we had a heartbreaking loss, in Arizona this past weekend. But first, you know, we got to start with Michigan, and we'll do a recap with Michigan. This past weekend, I'm very disappointed in the way we performed. We'll get to that. And we'll also preview that Notre Dame Sparty game this weekend. But T. Will, we'll jump to you and we'll start talking about our boys, Michigan. All right, T. Will, let's go to you first, man. I had an ulcer on Saturday. I don't know about you. We almost just ruined a really good thing. Didn't like the effort at all. T. Will, what did you see in that Saturday game against Akron?
Well, fine. I seen the Akron team that was hungry, but most of all, I seen a Michigan team that had a classic case of just overlooking someone. Fine, they were overlooking Akron, and we may look back at some point in the season and say, you know what? I'm glad this happened. You know, this was a close call, came down to the last play, fine. But I think it opened the eyes of the Michigan players, guys. I think it opened their eyes to, hey, we can't overlook anyone. We have to put our best foot forward. It doesn't matter who's on the field against us. You know, they came out first game of the season against Central Michigan. Wanted to show everyone what they could do, and they did in the 59-9 victory. They came out in a very against a very worthy opponent in Notre Dame early on and beat them. So I think they overlooked Akron. Not to say they were overlooking him for Connecticut next week. I just think they were overlooking him because they were a lesser opponent. But Akron played with a lot of pride, and they have a really good coaching staff there now, and they really surprised us, fine.
Not T. Will, it sounds like you're spinning this from a coach's standpoint, and I agree. I think Brady Hoke is saying actually some of the same things that you're saying, but, you know, I'm a fan. You know, I don't coach football. I'm a fan, in my opinion. It sounds like you're spinning this to a positive, but, I mean, I got to be honest with you, T. Will. I was extremely disappointed. And as a fan, I was completely disappointed. You don't overlook anybody. You can't just show up. You have to play. Now, do you really believe that we will look back at this, or do we will say, hey, we showed signs that we're really not that good?
Well, I don't think we'll look back and see, like, see signs to say that we're not that good. I think we'll look back at this and say, you know what, I'm glad we didn't lose this game, because at the end of the day, we probably won't be where we are going to be at the end of the season, which I think is in the BCS bowl game. So I think it was a lack of execution, fine, on all parts. I mean, Devin Gardner, he made some terrible decisions. Our offensive line wasn't as dominant as they should have been. Our defense wasn't dominant against the Akron team. And at the same time, guys, we just didn't play a great game. You know, if we come out and play like that in any other game this season, we're going to lose, and we're going to lose by a lot of points. So we have to make better decisions. We have to execute, and we have to put our best foot forward. It's just that simple.
Now, this is why that I'm upset. Now, I'll just be honest with you guys. I'm upset, and I'm not even saying that we're a top five team in the country. I'm not saying that we are. But we all know how college football is. It's kind of a joke, really and truly, when you look at the BCS, and it's all about when you lose, and that part of it is a joke. But if you look at our schedule, we got an opportunity to run the table before we get to Ohio. That's why I'm upset. And we got an opportunity to play for a national championship if we cover our bases. And we can't have games like that if we got these kind of aspirations. But, Q, you a Michigan grad. I'm glad we got you on, and I want to hear what you got to say about this, man.
So the first two games of the season, and I said the same thing after those first two games after I did this weekend, which is they just don't look sharp, which to me is, you know, the first game you might have some hiccups, and even though they blew out Central, you know, they just have not looked sharp yet, in my opinion. And I think that, to me, is the scary part, because they do have, you know, a couple more chances to get it right before it's going to get real very fast. And the schedule, it can go either way. And I think that, you know, the defense is looking a little bit better. The corners, in my opinion, are finally coming around after the past few seasons. I still think that, you know, for me, the jury is still out on Coach Hoke. Because if this was Rich Rod, and this would have been him coaching this past weekend, three years in, that close of a game, the headlines would have been very different. Talk radio would have been very different. People would have been having a very different conversation. But I feel because it's Brady Hoke, people took it differently.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, it sounds like you got something in your heart about Brady Hoke. I mean, how do you feel about Brady Hoke? Do you think he's the guy that's going to get us to being, hey, we're going to win 10 games and we're either going to a championship or we're going to the Rose Bowl? Do you think he's that guy's Q?
I think he's the guy, and I've said this, I don't see the huge improvement from Rich Rod to him. I've said every now and then Hoke may be a joke. I feel like he's kind of that in-between coach. He's not like we're going to rest the program on him for the next 20 years, like a Saban or a Urban Meyer. He, in my opinion, he's not that same tactician. I just don't see it in him, you know. I think he's a great recruiter. I will say that. He's a great recruiter. However, when it comes to taking those pieces and putting them together on the field, I just haven't seen it yet.
You know what, Q? I'm glad you bring this up, because it's a lot of people that scared to say the things that you just said. I agree with this. I think Brady Hoke is a good recruiter, but one thing that he does, in my opinion, is use his common sense. Like, he's not going to outcoach the big names. I agree with you 100%, but I think he gets by on just using common sense. You know, Rich Rod, in my opinion, didn't use common sense. There's no way we should have a walk-on starting at quarterback. Even if Ryan Mallett don't fit your system, don't run him off. You know, get it done for a year so we don't win three games. So I think that's where it's different at. But, T. Will, what do you think about Q's comments there?
Well, I agree. I think he is a great recruiter. And also, too, he does use common sense. But at the same time, what I can say about Brady Hoke is where he lacks – where he may have weaknesses at, he has great people in place. You know, he has Greg Madison running that defense, and Al Borges running the offense. So he has two people that have proven track records, and that's definitely getting it done on both sides of the ball. So I think he puts his two cents in where he needs to. I think he's a great game manager, and he does a great job from that aspect. And that's all he needs to do. I mean, with Borges and Madison running both sides of the ball, I mean, there's not, you know, much else that he needs to do.
Yeah, T-Will, and I also agree with that, too. That's what I'm saying. He uses common sense. He's got a defensive, you know, NFL coordinator. Al Borges, in my opinion, has done a great job. And, you know, once again, Rich Rod had his boy running the 3-3-5, and obviously that doesn't work in the Big Ten. But, Q, before we move on to the Sparty preview, I'll give you the last word on this one, being a Michigan grad.
Mm-hmm. I just think that, you know, this season is it's a toss-up. And, you know, I'm pulling 10 games. I think that they can't have any mental lapses. You know, I think they are deep enough with injuries, but I think that, you know, they just have to play smart, and they have to be able to take that next step as a program. And that's what I haven't seen yet. And that's, to me, the disappointing portion. Still a Michigan fan. Still a Michigan going to rep it all day, 100%. I stand by them. But I'm also not going to be afraid to call them out when I think that, you know, we have some opportunities for improvement. So go Blue this weekend. Looking forward to the game against Connecticut. Hopefully they come out sharp.
Yeah, I mean, I think we blow Connecticut out just because of what happened last week. And if I'm not mistaken, one of you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. I think UConn actually lost to one of those 1AA schools, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, we got to give it to them. So, Well, all right, let's move on here and let's preview the Sparty Notre Dame game. And Q, I'll stay with you on this one. The Sparty looked like they went with Connor Cook. Looked like he moved the ball pretty well, and everyone seems to be excited over in Sparty land. But it's like, dude, you play Youngstown State. I mean, what do you look for in this game against Notre Dame?
No, I think, again, you know, not to hype them up, I just feel like Michigan State's coach he's doing a really good job of establishing their brand of football. They come out, they play physical ball. You know, the QB did come out and, you know, swing it around a bit. And I just think that over the last couple of seasons, no matter who they're playing, you know, Michigan State gets up for it. They played well at Notre Dame on the road previously. And I think that this is going to be a really good matchup because these, in my opinion, are probably two fairly evenly matched teams. The rivalry is there. And I think that Michigan State probably should pull out the win. I think it's going to be closer than most people think it is. So it should be a pretty good matchup.
Yeah. Do you think they'll be able to move the football on Notre Dame, Q? Because, I know Notre Dame has lost a lot on defense, and that's why when we played them, I wasn't worried about them because they lost a lot of pieces. But do you think Michigan State can move the football against Notre Dame?
I think they're going to figure out some creative ways to at least make an attempt. I think that, you know, Notre Dame is a little bit softer, and I think that Michigan State is trying to figure some things out with their roster. And, you know, I think they're going to have some, like, let's say halftime adjustments. They're going to come out. They're going to, you know, take assessment the first half and then come out after that. And I expect them to do pretty well. They're going to be playing at home. It's going to be a jacked-up crowd. And I just think that their coach is going to – he finds a way to motivate his players. So I think that they're going to find a way to move that ball.
Isn't this game at Notre Dame, Q?
Is it? Let me take a look real quick.
I believe this game is I'm pretty sure they played at East Lansing last year, I believe, because it's always flip-flop. They don't do the same. So it was at the Big House this year. So I believe they play Michigan State at Notre Dame, if I'm not mistaken. But while you look for that, we'll go to T-Wheel on this one. T, what do you expect to see? Because I'll be honest with you, T. The first game, they step on the road. I think Sparty's going on the road for the first time. Their offense maybe got some fake confidence because they play Youngstown State, T-Wheel. But I got to be honest with you. I don't see them scoring any points.
Well, that's true. I don't see them scoring a large number of points, if any. But they will be on the road at Notre Dame. And well, the one thing I can say about the Spartan staff is like Q alluded to, they do get creative. You know, they've ran some fake punts, some fake field goals. You know, they get creative in a special teams game. You know, to make up for the lack thereof on their offense. And yes, if I'm the coaching staff, specifically on the offensive side of the ball at Michigan State, I'm pumping my guys up. Yes, it was Youngstown State. Yes, we were supposed to do that to them. But at this time, I'll take confidence, wherever I can find it for those guys, you know. So, the defense has to play, State's defense have to play a near perfect game against Notre Dame. Have to make them, you know, force them into making some mistakes, and you know, just watching Notre Dame's offense against Michigan, you know, they can put up some points now, and so I mean, Michigan State's their offense is going to have to move the ball and finish drives. You know, they're going to have to because the defense can't be on the field all day, even though that's the strength of their team. So the offense is going to have to be creative also, maybe a few trick plays here and there, you know, to maybe get the crowd involved. And well, the crowd won't be involved in Notre Dame, but you know, just to get some momentum, you know, get some momentum in South Bend. And really, guys, I'm really pressing on what to say about Michigan State's offense. I just think Notre Dame's going to win this game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see that team scoring two touchdowns on the road. I offensively just don't. If Tommy Reese can protect the ball, Notre Dame wins this game easily. Like, I really do believe that. But, Q, I want to let you back in. And, you know, now that you know the game is at Notre Dame, do you still feel the same way that this game is going to be a tight one?
I do, because Michigan State is very good at motivating their players. I know, again, Notre Dame's going to have a lot of advantages. But I think that coaching-wise, they have a solid coach. And regardless of the talent that they have, it's going to be an evenly matched TV program in terms of coaching knowledge, players. Other than, you know, giving Notre Dame a slight advantage because they're playing at home, I don't think that it's going to be that much of a mental, you know, mental jump for Michigan State to feel like they can pull out a win there.
Yeah, I mean, I just think here's my problem, Q, and I want to stick with you on this one. I mean, I see Notre Dame at least scoring 24 points at home. Like, I see that. So my question would be to you is, can Michigan State score 25 or more to win the game?
You know, I'm not going to be able to establish if they are or not. I haven't seen a lot of Michigan State. I haven't seen a lot of their highlights, and I definitely haven't watched the game.
Haven't missed them.
I haven't seen them as much. I'm going based on, you know, limited highlights in last year, but more so, you know, as I often say, a lot of this comes down to coaching. And I feel like they're going to be able to come out, dictate some sort of strategy, some sort of rhythm, and establish that, whether it's the run game early, whether it's, like you said, protecting the football and be able to pass around. But I think that if Notre Dame puts up 20-something points, you got to have your defense step up a little bit. You got to create some points off of turnovers, special teams, or you somehow need to open your playbook up a little bit, because this is a big game. So forget about saving it for the Big Ten. You know, you need to come out and you need to establish a good win. They had a close game last week. I do know that. And you got to get it rolling.
Yeah. So, T-Will, I'll throw this one to you because you're real high on Pat Narduzzi and that defense. And I don't blame you. I mean, it's real solid. But, I mean, is it going to be a lot more on his plate? Because is he saying, I don't know how much run support I'm going to get, so to speak, T-Will?
Well, it's always tough, you know, when your offense, you know, isn't putting up high numbers, you know, or may not be scoring as much. Because, I mean, defensively, you almost have to play a near-perfect game. You know, I mean, tons of three and outs. And let's understand this, guys. They are playing against Notre Dame. You know, it's not Youngstown State or any other pushover or any MAC school. You know, it's Notre Dame. So, at the same time, guys, you know, they have some supreme athletes at Notre Dame, and Notre Dame can put up some points. Tommy Rees, like you said, fine. He does have a few games under his belt. He has experience, and I just think it's going to be tough. You know, just for the defense to do their job is one, but also to do the offense's job, too, to put up some points, that's a lot to ask for. So it's on the shoulders of the Michigan State offense. I'll say that week in and week out.
Yeah, whoever wins that tempo battle, I think, comes out and win this game. If Notre Dame is allowed to throw the ball and move the ball and stay ahead of the sticks, you know, but if Michigan State can actually move the chains against a Division I defense, you know, they will have a chance. But, I mean, they haven't shown that they can move the ball against a Division I defense, in my opinion. All right, so let's move on, T-Will, and I'll start with you on this one. Let's talk about the Lions. And before you get a recap on the game, T-Will, I've been hearing a lot of people say why we lost this game and things like that, penalties and all that stuff. And I just want you to tell me right off the bat, am I wrong or not? Me personally, if Hansen was there, I think we win the game. I think we win that game. And I think we lost the game because I know there's always small little details that can be fixed, especially from a coach standpoint, T. I get that. But I personally think we lost this game because of our kicking. And we're here. We've been blessed with Jason Hansen that he's been pretty much money our whole life, you know, kicking for the Lions. But T-Will, that's why I think we lost the game. So let me know if I'm right or wrong, please.
That did add to us losing the game, fine, but I don't think it was the main reason. I wouldn't shoulder the load on our kicking game, the reason that we lost the game. For the most part, fine. I'm gonna be honest. I would definitely say Matthew Stafford in that offense down the stretch. You know, it was a few plays, it was a few drives in the fourth quarter. We went three and out. If we're going to throw the ball and be a passing team, we have to get some completions in there. I mean, Brandon Predigrew dropping balls, and you know, when Calvin Johnson is double-teamed down the stretch, I mean, that's where our offense has to take strides at. When Reggie Bush is on the sideline, you know, due to an injury, and we're going to commit to throwing the ball, you know, Joik Bell can't drop a swing pass out of the backfield, you know, into a blitz. You know, Pettigrew can't drop balls. That's where this offense has to pick up. If we're going to be a better team, we have to make these plays this year. Yes, it would have helped at those field. It would have made those field goals fine. Absolutely. But at the same time, guys, we have to move the ball in the fourth quarter. I think we all kind of seen it coming as Lion fans. Like, man, we've seen this story millions of times. You know, we kind of seen that lead dwindling and dwindling, and now it's down to two, and it's kind of like, yep, we kind of know where it's going from here. So, I mean, we've seen this story a million times, and, yeah, we have to consistently make plays and move the rock if we're going to be this type of offense.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like I said, I'm not sitting here saying our offense plays perfect, our defense plays perfect, but, you know, I'm sorry. At that's one thing for sure as a Lions fan. I'm used to those field goals. That's my thing. I'm used to them going in. So, Q, let's go to you. What did you see from the Lions, though?
You know, I saw some flashes of potential greatness. I think that I really feel like Reggie Bush is definitely a great escape valve. I like how they're using him. I think that the defense is getting better. I just think that they don't have a solid identity. You know, I think that, you know, you have in Sue a lot of potential greatness. And if you can get a consistent personality from him, I think that he can really take hold of that defensive unit and they can be something special. I just think that he has to get a handle on his emotions, or they need to figure out, is he the long-term defensive player for the franchise? You know, Stafford, I really like. I feel like Stafford's been fine the last couple of seasons. I see growth. I see maturity. I just think he needs tools and things around him to support him. Calvin Johnson is Calvin Johnson. You can't ask anything more of the man, in my opinion, you know, other than to keep the field goals. I mean, he's doing all he can, has done all he can. And I think that, you know, for the game, they again, it's kind of back to that old Denny Green comment. You know, they are who we thought they were. And they need to change that identity because, you know, they get up, they have some momentum, and somehow they find a way to let it go. And I posted this on social media before the season began. It's like a drug. A lot of people get hype about the Lions, and they find a way to let you down. And they need the recovery group. They have to find a way to either establish that identity on defense, or they need to be able to put the tools in place. We all knew Jason Hansen had been around for a while, and they were going to need to do something about that. They got Akers, cool. You can't put it all on kicking. Reggie Bush gets hurt. Understandable. You still have to step in. The next man has to step in. And I feel like they don't have that sense of identity that one man goes down, they step in. Somebody gets cut, they step in. Somebody gets arrested, they step in. It doesn't happen.
Hey, now, so do you think Reggie Bush getting hurt in the fourth quarter, do you think that that's why we got those three and outs, Q? Because I don't even know why he throws the bail, because me personally, he can't even catch. Like, a lot of people got mad at Bale, Q, but I got to be honest with you. I didn't. He can't catch.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he's not the best option. Again, you know, Calvin Johnson is there and Reggie Bush is there. You need somebody else on that other side. And then you hopefully you like to have someone who can catch, whether that's your tight end or whether that's a receiver. And they just don't have that receiver. I mean, it's going to be tough, but like you said, I would tend to agree with you, Fon. You know, if you're throwing it at him, it's a 50-50 shot. Probably less than that.
Yeah. T-Will, I'll go back to you on this one, because as soon as Reggie Bush got hurt, T-Will, we was last year's team. That's who we were. We were a team that can't run the ball, that can't throw to a back out the backfield. So, T-Will, I'll ask you, I mean, can we win with Reggie Bush on the sideline?
Well, it's tough to say, Fine, but I'll tell you this. With Reggie Bush on the sideline, like you said, we're last year's team, and we don't have a huge dynamic. You take a huge dynamic away from our offense. You know, it's almost borderline, Fine. I'm not saying that Calvin Johnson and Reggie Bush are the same player, but if you take Calvin Johnson off the Lions team, that almost has the same impact. Our offense, we have two guys that are dynamic. You take one away, you can focus and key on one, and it's like no one else on the team can play. I mean, almost. So, I mean, once Reggie Bush left the game, Fine, it was a rough situation for the Lions. And like, you know, we just looked like last year's team. I mean, with the drops, with Calvin Johnson getting double teamed, when it was like we just had nowhere else to go with the ball. It was kind of sad.
See, real quick, I'll give you the last word on this one. We're going into Washington. We're going to play a desperate, and I mean desperate, Redskins team, T-Will. So, I mean, are we going to be 1-2 or 2-1 after Sunday, man?
Fine. Just due to the Lions' reputation and what's happened in the past, I'm going to have to say 1-2. And the reason I say that, and I'm going to be real brief right here, is because it seems like RG3, his first two games, he was a little rusty. You know, he did have some pretty good stats last game, but he came out rusty. He missed a lot of ball. He was inaccurate and things like that. But it seems like when guys are in slumps and things like that, the good old Lions come to town. And somehow, you know, they just kind of find their rhythm. So, I mean, that's basically what I'm expecting RG3 to find his rhythm. So, whoever has RG3 this week in fantasy, you might want to play him.
Yeah, T-Will, you know, and, oh, man, that's tough, man. That's a tough one. And you know, as soon as RG3 leaves pocket, we're going to hit him late at least twice this game. So
absolutely.
Well, all right, guys. The freestyle round is back. We haven't done it the last couple times. We had a lot of things to cover. And it's always brought to you by the CLD Sports Agency. Visit them at Chris L. Davis, thechrisldavis.com. They got clients all over the world, represent some of the best Olympians. T. Wheel, we'll start with you, man, and let's keep it going with RG3 here, man. People are saying RG3 came back a little too early, T. Wheel, and, you know, they drafted Cousins, you know, just in case that he had knee problems. So thumbs up if you think, you know, Kirk Cousins should get the start, or thumbs down, this is a complete overreaction at being 0-2.
Are you talking about Kirk Cousins should have got the start this season, fine?
No, I'm saying, like, right now, should they put him in right now?
Oh, no. I say you have to stick with RG3 at this point, guys. For the most part, guys, he's played the first two games. If you go to Kirk Cousins right now, I think it would do more harm than it would do good at this point. I mean, if you're going to go with Kirk Cousins, you have to make that call at the beginning of the season, give RG3 a few weeks, to sit down and rest and then come back maybe a little bit later in the season. But at this point, to let him play two games and to pull him again, I just don't think the time is right for that. I think, he's played two games. He's taken some hits on that knee And then you look up, you had a Lions coming to town. So, I think this might be a great slump breaker for him. And, we might see one of his best games of his career coming up this Sunday.
Now, Q, I want to go to you now because T. Will says thumbs down, but I don't know if you guys heard this, but, before the season start, you know, Redskins said Super Bowl or bust, and they're 0-2, Q. So, I mean, what do you think about this situation?
I think that I tend to agree with T. Will on the assertion that you need to stick with RG3. He didn't play a snap in preseason ball, and so you couldn't expect him to come out ready to go. He had no rhythm and game speed. I think that you do keep a close eye on him. You might not tell him directly he's on notice, but I think that you have to definitely do what's best for the team. And I think that's a tricky thing because you saw last year, What was best for the team? They kept in the game, got hurt. And I think that they should hopefully have learned from that situation. Now, looking at their schedule on that Super Bowl or bust thing, might be a little tight. Might be a little tight. And I think I talked about this before the season started. When you got an owner like Dan Snyder, he's going to set high expectations. He's going to get very involved. But I do not think that they are this year's Super Bowl contender. Not in their division, not in their conference, not in their right mind. I think that they'll show some improvements. I think that Kirk Cousins is a great backup, and I think he's going to be ready to go whenever it's time, and I think there may be a time when that happens this season, but it's not right now.
Okay, Q.
Thanks, Q.
I got to get a point to T. Will because he said it first, and you guys both went thumbs down. So I got to get a point to T. Will on that one. We'll start with you on this one, Q. I actually had this question for a while in here, but we already did a freestyle. I don't know if it was a week or two ago. Brian Urlacher actually said on the show, he was saying that, hey, you know what, last year, you know, when I played for the Bears, we used to fake injuries all the time on defense to slow those up, tempo things up. Now, thumbs up if you think he's just keeping it real, or thumbs down if he just flat out snitching.
You know what? I think in this day and age, he's just keeping it real. You know what I mean? I mean, people not snitching about these concussions. You know that. So that's one thing, and that has more long-term damage. But I definitely think it goes on. I think that players look for every competitive advantage, not even at the college, that's high school, that's whatever. People are competitive, and I think that he was telling the truth. It happens. You do whatever you can within the legal boundaries of the game sometime and even outside, whether it's supplements or, you know, things like that. So it happens. The league should probably take a close look at how to prevent it. And, you know, I think he's just speaking now from a perspective where he's not going to be fined or, sanctioned for it.
Now, T. Will, Q say, man, he just keeping it real. Now, what do you think about this, T. Will?
I have to say he's snitching. I mean, he hasn't been away from the game for like even a whole year yet. He's just kind of letting it go. I mean, I've seen video where two players went down for an injury, and one of them got back up because they ain't know the other one was going down. So yeah, it happens, and he was just snitching on it. I mean, and we say we can't do nothing to the league does something about it, but guess what? The league cannot do anything about it. How are they gonna prove someone's not hurt or catching a cramp or dehydrated? That's circumstantial. They cannot prove that. I mean that's gonna be something that happens in the league for a long time. That's tough to prove.
Now you know what? See, you bring up a point, and that's why I gotta agree with Q, because I remember that play you talking about where they both went down because I guess somebody got the signal. They didn't read the signal right, so they both went down. Then one of them popped back up. He said, "Okay, he's hurt." And so I gotta side with Q on this. I think he was just keeping it real. We know it happens, but we just wanted a player to come out and say it. And I gotta side with Q on that one. Now this last one, T, we're gonna go back to you. Now this is a tough one, because I don't know how I have absolutely 100% cannot wait to hear the answers here. Now I know you guys saw the highlight of the Wisconsin Arizona State game, where Wisconsin should have gotten another play. And they didn't get an opportunity to kick the field goal. And it was pretty close. It wasn't like it was a far field goal. Now, see, weird. Now, thumbs up if you think the apology is okay and, you know, just we'll take the games away from the referee crew, T-Wheel. Or thumbs down if you think that we got to figure out another way to figure this out and maybe even run the play again if the referees make a huge mistake that causes a team a loss.
Thumbs down. They have to figure something out, because this appealing games or whatever this process does, whatever it does is crap, because at the end of the day, the team is still going to get that loss. So whatever this process is, they need to take a look at it. I mean, they can fine that crew or, you know, suspend them games, whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, it's bigger than that. It's bigger than that crew. Last year, Wisconsin went out and lost the first game of the season and only rushed for under 100 yards. I want to say like 50 yards. Well, guess what? The O-line coach was fired after that game. So, I mean, stuff that happens in the game can be directly correlated and could directly affect someone's personal life. So, I mean, let's say the AD took that game personal and let the coach go. But it was because of a bad call. So it can be a domino effect of other things that happen within a program. So we have to find a solution to be not just on the college level, but also the NFL level, where we're getting these calls corrected, making sure the right calls are being made, and making sure the correct plays are being ran before we leave that building.
Oh, man, that's a good one. Q, I got to go to you now. T. Will say we got to come up with something. Are you okay with just an apology and, hey, we got to move forward or what?
Well, real quick, who gave the apology?
The Pac-12 gave an apology because it was a Pac-12 crew, I believe.
The Pac-12 crew. So here's what I say overall, because I tend to personally, how I see it is, you know, I have to look at it as an NCAA issue. And really, you know, I give it a thumbs up because they deny everything else. They apply a band-aid to every other situation. This goes with their, you know, it goes with their record thus far. We're not going to pay the athletes. We're just going to make a lot of money off them. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. You know, I feel like there's a lot of just band-aid applied issues, and this goes at the heart of it. They don't get to the root of solving problems. As long as it's not messing with this TV money, as long as it's not messing up the bowl game situation, as long as we can keep things running and business is running as normal, we're going to keep doing what we do, baby. And so I think this goes right along with their whole little operation and system.
Yeah, that's it. That was a good fight by
Money Train from Rome. If it's going to impact it, then yes, address it. Otherwise, it's just a little bump. You know, if you got a problem with it, you can leave the NCAA. You can leave the conference. You know, you don't need to participate. We'll find another team with all these conference restructurings. You know, they the pimps in these situations. Everybody else just need to fall in line.
Yeah, I mean, that was a good argument by both sides, but I got to side with T-Wheel. And the reason why is because he brings up the point that what if somebody's fired after that loss? You know, what if somebody's not getting income? You know, so that these win losses, they're huge. I mean, but this is his first year, so he's not like on the hot seat or anything like that. But, I mean, T-Wheel is right, man. Somebody could have got fired after that game. So I got to give it to T-Wheel on that one, man.
Hey, Q, that was a great answer, though. That was a great rebuttal for that last question, man. That was a great argument. Seriously.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, it was a good one. But like you said, NCAA said everybody need to fall in line.
Fall back, man.
All right. So let's Bama, Texas A&M recap. Let's get right to it. And T, I want to start with you on this one. First of all, before you tell me what you saw, I picked A&M to win a game. I know everybody in the world picked Alabama. I picked A&M because I don't think anybody can stop Johnny Football. And they didn't stop him. But I'm surprised that they lost that game. But T, well, I want to ask you this. If you know that Johnny Football is going to give 562 total yards of offense and you don't know the score, do you say, man, you know, Texas A&M wins the game?
Yes, you have to say Texas A&M wins the game. 562, that's an astounding number. I mean, that number is phenomenal. This game kind of basically, it went like I thought it was going to go. I thought Texas A&M was going to come out hot, on fire. I didn't think they were going to go up two touchdowns. I thought they were going to come out and score, maybe go up that first touchdown, and Alabama will respond. But they went up two touchdowns. And then Alabama came back, and they were Alabama. I mean, the game was back and forth. I mean, Johnny Football did some tremendous things on the field. I mean, he's a superstar, man. This kid is a superstar. And some things, like they say, are too good to be true. So that's why when you think about it, you know, this kid is that good, but he has to come with baggage. You know, because if it was just somebody out here that was just that good and they were a stand-up guy, it'd be like, man, this is too good to be true. Johnny Football, guys, is the real deal. I think we already know that. Alabama knows that. But I'm telling you right now, don't nobody care about the spread or nothing else. Nick Saban said, I'm not losing to these cats. You know, Johnny Football is not beating me again. You know, so, you know, kudos to Alabama. I think they leaned on those guys and kind of imposed their will a little bit. And, you know, the game, I think it ended up at one touchdown. But I think Alabama, they showed their dominance also. And Johnny Football just showed why, man. He's just one of the best in the business.
Yeah, I mean, he's the best player in the country, in my opinion, and he clearly showed that. Q, what did you see in that game, man?
I saw the main issue that if anyone ever wants to beat Alabama, is, you know, it's out there. You just need to pay attention, which is a mobile QB. You know, you can't plan for these things. When a mobile QB gets around, he's running around, and he's operating on the fly, that's Saban's worst nightmare. And I think that it was, you know, it was demonstrated. They just ran out a little bit of time. I think that, however, at the end of the day, what was proven also is that, you know, Alabama's a well-coached team. They can handle adversity. They can, you know, respond to being down, and they can respond to being on the road and you know, in a tough stadium, because Texas College Station is a tough place to play. I've never been during a game, but I've been down there before in the summer when football wasn't even happening, and it's crazy. And so I think that, as T. Will stated, when it comes to Manziel, oh, that boy's the truth. He's unstable, but he's the truth. And so if I'm an NFL owner and I draft him, I think on the field, he's going to make some things happen. But then I'm scared because off the field, I think he's going to make some things happen.
Yeah, well, I would draft him. That's just me. But before we talk about A.J. McCarron, because that's who I really want to talk about here, Q, I want to say this, and people make this statement all the time, and it's just so funny to me. People say this guy can't play quarterback in NFL. That guy can't play quarterback. Did you guys see the starters from opening day? I mean, come on, guys. Christian Ponder keeps a job. You know, the guy from Ohio was starting at Terrell Pryor. He was starting in Oakland. And everybody said, oh, these guys can't play quarterback. Look at these rosters and look who's playing QB on these teams, man. But I want to talk about A.J. McCarron. I mean, everybody calls him the game manager. Everybody say, Q, that he's really not that good. He plays on a really good team. And he looked pretty good to me on Saturday, Q.
Yeah, he does look pretty good, and he is the game manager. I mean, can't fault him for being in the situation he's in, but he steps in and he delivers, and he's delivered for the past three seasons or going on the past three seasons. And I think that, you know, when it comes to the next level, he deserves a viable option. My thing is, if you're better off here, you know, at QB, you're better off here. And so I think that he's proven athletically, mentally, physically, you know, he's that real deal. And if you have a question, you know, look at his win-loss record, look at the championships he has, and you know, make your own judgment or try to stop him. Figure out a way to stop him if you feel that way.
Yeah, T. Will, I'll go to you. You know, you're the quarterback whisperer, man. I mean, what do you think about AJ, man?
I didn't hear you fine. What did you say?
I said, what did you think about AJ?
Oh, AJ, man, let me tell you guys something, man. He is, I mean, so underrated, guys. So underrated. I mean, he does tons for this team. I mean, yes, they have great, they have a great running game. But also, guys, I'm talking about, this kid has a great skill set. You know, people don't understand, a couple things about Alabama quarterbacks. These guys are game managers. These are, guys are extremely, accurate, you know, and these guys have strong arms, you know, and these guys have played in some of the biggest college football games in the last 4 to 5 years, you know, so, these guys are battle tested. They've been around, and usually they're going to play in the last game of the season. So I mean, AJ McCarron, he was phenomenal again, and in another big game. I mean, I don't know how many big games this young man has started in, but I mean, on the next level, fine. You pointed it out. It's some guys that are starting at quarterback on the next level. It's a troll. It's almost like it's one end of the spectrum or another. It's kind of like you in a Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning class, or you're kind of in a Christian Ponder class. It's kind of like you're on one end of the spectrum or the other. You know, he can play quarterback in this league, and I think he will play quarterback in the NFL.
There are a lot of people make those statements, and I'm telling you right now, I tell people this all the time. Tim Tebow will be quarterback for somebody if the circus didn't follow him. People would give him a chance. I mean, I'm just being honest. That's why nobody will call him, because they don't want that attention. He's not – people will take attention if you're good. Like, if you're great, if you're Tom Brady, you know, you're Aaron Rodgers, you know, yeah, we'll take the attention. But you can't be Tim Tebow and bring in a circus in town. But, all right, let's go to our last segment here, and let's do our pick-ems. T-Wheel went 2-1, and C-Rush went 2-1 last week, and I went 1-2. Good thing Johnny Football scored that last touchdown. I'd have been over for the weekend. But, Q, we'll involve you this week since you're here, and we'll start with you. Auburn plays LSU, and LSU is minus 17 and a half. Who you got?
I don't know much about this matchup, but I'm going to go out here on a limb, and I'm going to say LSU is not going to be that minus 17 and a half. I think, you know, it's a little bit closer than that, you know, probably about a 10-point game, and Auburn pulls it out.
Oh, wow. I agree with you. I'm going to take the points and be the sucker again, see where it got me last week, but I'm going to actually take the 17 and a half, and I'm going to take Auburn on this one. I think it's going to be a tough SEC battle, and I don't think that score is going to get out of control, but, you know, Oregon showed me that the score can't get out of control last week. But T-Will, I go to you on this one, man. Who you got in this one?
Guys, I'm going to take Auburn in the points. I kind of have to on this one, guys. I got to take Auburn in the points in this. I can't do it with LSU. That's too many. That's too many points for them.
Yeah. T-Will, we'll stay with you here, right here. Kansas State versus Texas. Texas minus 4.5. I don't know how they're favored to play anybody, but who you got?
Man, give me Kansas State. Give me the team that lost. That team that lost to Orchard Lake St. Mary's a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm taking Kansas State too. Coach Snyder 5-2 all time against Texas. Fans are cheering. You know, hey, we own Texas. We own Texas. Yes, you have. So, I don't see how Texas is favored, I guess, because they're at home, but I'm going to take the 4.5 and take Kansas State as well. Q, who you want?
I want to go with Kansas State, you know. Part of me says this new defense coordinator might be able to make something happen in a week, but I'm going to stick with Kansas State. I think those points will be greater than 4.5, but, you know, we'll see what's going to happen. I definitely think Kansas State will be pulling it out, but college football could get crazy.
That's the thing. I mean, we do these pick-ems. I try to pick really tough games. We'll go to our next one. Q, we'll stay with you. Sparty visiting South Bend. Notre Dame's minus 7. Who you got?
Yeah, I think Sparty does win the game, as I said before. And I just think that, you know, they pull it out some kind of way and they surprise people. And I'm fine with those points.
Wow, so you taking Sparty plus 7. Everybody listening know who I'm taking. I think this game is going to get ugly at least by 17. So I'm taking South Bend for sure. T-Will, who you got?
Notre Dame minus 7, lock of the week.
all right, guys. Q, we really appreciate you coming on. We really do. I hope you had a good show, man.
Oh, yeah, it's a good time all the time. Appreciate the invitation. And looking forward to seeing what happens with these results this weekend with all the teams discussed.
Yeah, me too. It's always fun. T. Will, how you feel, man?
Man, I feel pretty good, man. You know, I love to have my guy Q on, man. Michigan grad, man. Go blue, man. It ain't nothing like taking it from the couch on Sundays watching football to the internet.
That's right. That's what we do here at the Wilson Rush Podcast. Send us an email. Let's get this thing back going. WilsonRushPodcast@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes, Wilson Rush Podcast. We'll be back for a Saturday show to talk more NFL, dig deeper in the RG3 situation, talk about Chip Kelly a little bit, and what he's doing in Philadelphia. But as usual, we're representing 7 Mile, and we really do appreciate you guys listening. Have a good week.